At this time, we will sing together our opening hymn, which is hymn number 873. Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. For great is your steadfast love toward me.
You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life.
And they may not set you before them.
But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and abounding in mercy.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. The collect of the day can also be found on your propers insert. Let us pray.
O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come. And what will happen? Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we begin anew our confession on the Ten Commandments. What is the first commandment? What does this mean?
We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
What is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
We should fear, love, God, so that you do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, and deceive by his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray.
What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, So will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 192 or in the back cover of your hymnal.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. But before we sing our sermon hymn for today, I have a children's message of sorts. And I won't ask anybody to come forward because I would hate for anybody to have to walk through the church. But I want to do it nonetheless. And so what do I got here? What about the kids first? The kids, you guys know what this is? No? No? Coming up blank? You guys got to have your kids do more chores. This is a hoe. In fact, it's called a scuffle hoe. My parents used to call it an action hoe. This hoe in particular has one very, very important job, and it's one of my favorite tools to use in my own garden, and it kills the weeds. It literally, the hoe part will go underneath the ground and literally like scrape the roots out, which is spectacular. It's way better than a regular hoe. So I use this hoe all the time, but I have to tell you guys a story. And so this is a few years back, I had planted some pepper plants. And so they were just little tiny seedlings. And for whatever reason, my peppers always grow really, really slow. And so the weeds started to come up around my pepper plants. And I thought to myself, I'm going to take my hoe and I'm going to get rid of those weeds to help those peppers grow better. So I'm hoeing around, and I'm hoeing all these weeds out, and what happens next? But I accidentally hoed right over one of my pepper plants. And I was very sad because I really like peppers. But the problem is that I was too excited, I was too anxious to get rid of the weeds that I didn't take very much consideration or time, or I wasn't very careful to make sure that I only got the weeds. And I ended up killing a plant in the process. Well, this is just what Jesus talks about in our Bible reading from just a few moments ago, as he says that at the end of the age, you know, he's going to come and have a harvest. But until that time, he doesn't want any of his believers to be punished for it. And so he allows his believers and he allows the unbelievers to live on this earth and both sin and both do evil things. But there is one big difference. The believers have faith in Jesus. And so while they have to live in this world that is filled with sin and filled with hardship and filled with other evil people who live in it, he gives us this hope that when the end of the age really does come, that the weeds and the wheat will both be torn up. And for you, for those who are baptized, for those who are his believers, you will be gathered into his heavenly kingdom that will have no end of joy and perfection. And the unbelievers and all the sin in the world, that will get thrown into an awful place of suffering for all time. But the good news is that you will be separated from it. Let's pray. Will you please pray after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for planting me in the world and giving me faith in your word. Help me to endure this life
until you come again.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. At this time, we will sing together our next hymn, which is hymn number 700.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you are just simply exhausted with the world? Just exhausted with 2020? Just ready for it to all be done? God, just let's bring in 2021 now here at the end of July, right? We're exhausted with coronavirus updates, you know, and you know, conflicting reports that have been coming in over the past few months, and it's really hard to figure out who to believe. We're exhausted with violent protests and rioting and destruction, and then the counter protests and rioting and destruction that have seemed to torn through our country. We're exhausted with all of the arguing that these two issues have caused specifically. But then we're also exhausted with all of the ways in which our politicians are trying to use these situations in order to leverage themselves into power. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go back to the beginning of 2020? Like, just go back to January. Just hit, like, the reset button before any of this ever happened. The bad news? We're stuck here. There's no going back. There's no redoing it. There's no end in sight to our problems. That's the big problem. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we're not alone. Our epistle text for today shared these words. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We know that we all want to escape the world's current problems. And that's always been the truth. In fact, I'm sure that there were issues, problems, you know, uncertainties, things in your life, even before this year began, that you wanted to escape from. The problems that we have to escape from have always existed, whether it was a year ago or 10 years ago or the people who were living 100 years ago. They had problems that they had to endure that they wanted to escape. Because that's what we want. We want an escape from all of the problems that we have to endure. And assuming that God will actually bring us through the current issues in our world, and assuming that God will bring you through whatever issues you are experiencing in your own personal lives, be certain that a year from now, 10 years from now, even the people who live 100 years from now will still have problems. There will still be situations that they long to escape. Because the issues, the problems, the hardships in this world, they never end. Until the last day. Until that day when Jesus comes again, or until he calls us to himself in heaven. So until then, what we should expect in this life is that Jesus will allow weeds, that is, sinful people, sinful situations, to exist along wheat, that is, you, his children, his dear believers. And this is exactly what Paul writes about in Romans when he says, futility. Futility. It's the reason that we are all groaning together. We're in a constant cycle of trying to manage the issues that sin has brought into our lives. So what we do every week is we'll finish our chores at home. And guess what you have to do next week? Chores. Again. You know, maybe you've worked through an entire week and you've put in your time and you've put in your effort and you successfully make it to the weekend. Success, right? But guess where you're going on Monday? Back to work. You see how this works? When you're satisfied after a meal, I don't know how many of you had breakfast already. I ate eggs this morning. But you know what? Even though that was only like an hour and a half ago, I'm already starting to get hungry again. Our satisfied state of being only lasts for a short amount of time. And even creation itself is subjected to this. You know, in the backyard of the parsonage, we used to have two beautiful ash trees. And you know what? Those ash trees, they started as a little seed, and they grew into seedlings, and they grew into these great, big, tall trees. I counted the rings. They were there for over 50 years. And then what happened? They died. And they got torn down. And now there are new trees there, which will eventually grow into great, big, beautiful trees, and then they too will die and be torn down. And the cycle will continue. Animals deal with this, right? You see the squirrel who gets really fat in the fall, and he's all ready to hibernate in his nest. And then he emerges in the spring, and he's this thin little squirrel, because all of the work he did throughout the summer into the fall gets undone, and he has to do it all over again. If you remember the children's message, You know, just a few weeks ago, I hoed my entire garden and I killed all the weeds in it. And now they're all back. So yes, I know these are very simple, very easy things, but the truth is that there are bigger issues than this in our lives too. There are things that cause us to groan. And we groan with all creation, waiting for that day when God will reveal his sons and daughters, the day that he promised that he would come back to this earth with all power and all glory and defeat this futility and sin once for all. Because sin is really the cause. It's the cause of our endless cycle of problems. It's the reason that our lives get ruined by one thing or another. It's the reason that the world is entirely turned upside down right now. Sin is the reason that our joy is too often stolen away from us. Sin is the real problem. That's what makes us groan. And of course, as you all well know, this is why God sent Jesus in the first place. Because he knows that this world is futile. He knows that this world will continue to cause problems for us. This is why he is continually revealing his son, Jesus, to be the savior of the whole world. And that doesn't just mean, you know, savior from one issue or another. Because those things are in a moment. Those things are in a few months. Those things happen over the course of a few years. No, Jesus is savior from all sin. He's a savior from condemnation. He's a savior for beyond just moments or days or months, but he's a savior who ushers in eternity. Eternity is a very, very long time because it has no end. Jesus is a savior who has promised to bring us to a place where there is no futility. Where there is no sin, where the issues of your life that you face now, you will soon forget about because they will be so far in the past. Jesus has conquered it all. We know it's true because Jesus has already shown us. You know, Jesus came to this life for one purpose, and that he could live as a stalk of wheat amongst the weeds. That he could live alongside us and bring us belief in his name. He came into this world to show the sort of compassion he does have on all of our current problems. And so someone had a loved one who died. And what does Jesus do? He raises them back to life again. People suffering with diseases and sicknesses of various kinds. And what does Jesus do? He heals them. People who can't use their legs or their eyes or their ears, and Jesus magically or really miraculously gives them their abilities again or in some cases for the first time. He preaches the good news of salvation from futility and sin. And when his time comes, he takes the cross upon himself. Not just one person's problems. Not just one group of people's problems, but he takes on the problems and the sins of the whole world. He carries all of our burdens. And he sheds his blood, and he breathes his last, so that you and the rest of the world might be forgiven. And so you are. This is our hope. This is what our faith clings to. It is a Savior who gives himself into death, a Savior who had to make the hard decisions for us, because honestly, in our world, we are so torn by all of the different things that exist that it's hard to make decisions. It is hard to understand what to do next or where to go, and so what do we have to fall back on? Whether our decisions are right or wrong, who is always there for us but Jesus himself? To recognize that yes, sometimes we do stumble. Sometimes we do fall. Sometimes we do get caught up in this cycle of futility. But in the midst of it all, he is there and he remains forever. With power over all of our problems,
In fact, what he shows us on the third day is that he comes back to life. And so he has power over death itself, which is the biggest problem that we all will one day face. My friends, knowing and believing that Jesus is in your corner, knowing and believing that he is always working for your good, knowing and believing that he will come again to bring you to himself and to a place that has no sin, it doesn't lead us to groan, but it leads us to hope. To hope in a better reality that Jesus himself will usher in for us. But unfortunately, the world's problems aren't over. You're going to leave this church today, and the problems that existed as you walked in the door will probably still exist when you leave. And so we will groan. And we will live the daily grind of futility in this creation. But we do so going with the Lord Jesus. We do so trusting in his death, in his resurrection, and it means that we do so with patience. It means we do so with endurance. It means we do so with the strength and the hope that only comes from Jesus crucified, risen, and ascended. Trusting that he will one day usher us into an eternal kingdom where we will be set free. My friends, that is our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will direct your attention to page 192 of your hymnal as we sing together the offertory. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we are too quick to judge your ways and too bold to presume upon your wisdom. Grant us grace so that we may trust in your word and fulfill our baptismal vocation of worship, witness, prayer, and works of mercy, both to our families and to our neighbors in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, we are stewards of your creation, but we have often squandered its goodness and wasted its resources. Guide us to use wisely and for the benefit of all the fruits of this good earth, and preserve its goodness for those to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we have been given new birth in baptism. Help us to confess your Son before the world, reflecting the glory of your kingdom to all people. Bless all pastors, missionaries, and church workers, that they may be faithful in their callings. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we enjoy great freedom and blessing in our land. Bless Donald, our president, the Congress of these United States, J.B., our governor, and all those who make, judge, and administer laws in our land. Give them wisdom in their actions for the protection of life and livelihood. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of health,
which we must never take for granted. Hear our prayers on behalf of the sick, the aged, the infirm, those who mourn, and those near death. Grant them healing in accord with your will, and grace to sustain them in their need. Hear us especially for those on our prayer list, and those we remember in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, we too easily forget those in nursing homes, assisted living, and the homebound. Give us grace, so that we may bring them your consolation and peace, and give them the aid and comfort of your word and our fellowship in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we are wounded by the sufferings of this life, and we need your grace to sustain us in hope and equip us with patience. Give to us all that we need to pass through the day of trouble and be found faithful when Christ comes in his glory at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Gentle Lord, we ask you to visit the homes of your people, that they may be places of blessing and love, where faith is nurtured, and we learn to live out our new lives in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that what we pray for, we may work toward, under the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that at the day of judgment, we may be found worthy to join the saints and enter into your gift of eternal light and life forevermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer can be found in the back cover of your hymnal. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 923. Please stand. Please be seated. And once again, good morning. I pray the service was a blessing for you today. Again, I will just point out a few announcements, both pertaining to the same thing. We do have our joint Bible study coming up this Saturday, 9 o'clock. We will meet here in the sanctuary this time. Bring your own coffee if you'd like to bring a granola bar or something to snack on. Feel free to do that too. Typically, we would have a light breakfast for you, but given the current world situation, we're going to forgo the breakfast for this time. But please plan to come. I'm going to bring several cups of coffee for myself because I can't help myself. So, but please bring your coffee, bring a snack if you need, and we'll gather around God's word. The topic is the family altar, and so that has a lot to do with our devotional life, kneeling and approaching God in prayer, but also coming humbly to His word to offer us guidance for our life. And so. We all know that's important already, but we'll put some scripture to it, and we'll give you some tools in order to make sure that you do have a healthy prayer life and a healthy devotional life. So with that being said, again, I mentioned this at the front, but I'm going to mention it now, because if I don't get enough responses, this isn't going to work. So if you did not pick up one of these on your way in, please pick one up, fill it out. Quickly, if you have to step outside to fill it out, please do so. But fill it out. There's only four questions, and that way we'll kind of get a little grasp on where as a congregation we are as far as our daily devotional life. Again, no one's going to see this, just you alone, and then me. So don't write your name on it because I don't want to know who filled it out. Okay, I want it to be completely anonymous because I don't want to know. So, but fill it out for me, and then please put it in the box that's sitting by the door there. We do have a church council meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, so those of you on the church council, please plan to be here for that as well. Is there anything else we may need to announce today? Yes, we are having Bible study also. So our Sunday Bible study, this will be our first time back. The topic will be the Psalms, and so we will continue to trace through a few of those different Psalms, and Ben and Clarence will be leading that this morning. So if you don't have plans, which... let's be honest, who's really making a whole lot of plans these days? Stick around for Bible study after our service today. Anything else? We got one last thing then. If you guys will please take out your Luther Small Catechism one last time. And at the bottom of the front, we have our monthly Bible verse for the month of July, which comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Have a blessed day and a blessed